True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, folks. Hope you're having a great day. We're going to jump right in because we've got limited time with Councilman Joe Geruso about yesterday's meeting relative to the $20 million agreement payment to the school system, settling a potential lawsuit that exists out there for fees that were collected by the city, administrative fees for collection of property taxes due the school system, which accounts for a lot of money, and he joins us. Joe, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Noel.
So the mayor says she never did agree to this deal. Her administrative staff, to include Gilbert Montaño, was there through thick and thin with it. I know that everybody thought there was a deal. What happened?
Well, they backed out of the deal is what happened. I think they were really, I'm just going to be candid, unprepared yesterday, too, because the administration wanted to claim that they did not know about this deal. And if you really go back and look, by November 6th, the CAO and the CFO knew about the contours of a deal. And then by November 18th, Newell, not only did we have a press conference where the CAO stood shoulder to shoulder with council members and school board members talking about this, but we publicly announced what happened. The budget amendments, amending the budget that included the first payment, was released that day. We released a budget memorandum that explained all the amendments that were part of the council agenda that day. Everybody knew by November 18th what was getting ready to happen. And really what I felt like I heard yesterday was two things. Number one, that there is a level of dysfunction inside the administration that people want to claim not to know and don't talk to each other and can use that for their own ignorance. And then number two, it's really about the money. That when pressed and said, if the school board agreed not to let the city be the collector of their sales tax or property tax anymore, can we move forward? The city refused to answer that question. So that shows me that this is not really about the $20 million. It's about the fact that they want to collect $8 to $11 million every single year on the backs of children and use it to feather their own nest. And we're just not going to let this go. I think you not only have a deal, you have one that makes sense. You have the city doing something illegally and collecting this money, and it's time to put this to bed.
It would seem to me that the general millages that exist out there that go to financing the city contemplate that the city operates a Department of Revenue and that the Department of Revenue is responsible for the collection of ad valorem taxes, right?
That's right. And they are responsible. But what they do then is they put a kicker on top of it. And I think as one of my colleagues said, or maybe even a school member Parker said yesterday, that essentially they're skimming off the top of that. And when voters approve these millages, Noel, they don't approve the city to essentially skim off the top as an administrative fee. They're saying this money ought to go directly to whatever the issue is, whether it's drainage, schools, any other infrastructure need that the city has. It's not for the city to hold money back. And look, we've already been down this road with the downtown development lawsuit. The exact same issues were litigated there, and the city lost. So I don't understand, candidly, why we want to lead with our chin when we know legally we're on very non-sound grounds, and it doesn't make sense to have this fight unnecessarily.
Quite frankly, the school system's in a better position than the DDD because the school system is a single reporting entity, and what that means, they're totally divorced and separated from city government. It's not usual for city government to pass an administrative fee for collection of ad valorem taxes amongst their departments, right? Their departmental budgets, they all share in the cost of collecting the revenue. But you don't do it to independently elected and third-party organizations that are single reporting entities. You don't have the authority to do so unless it's spelled out, as y'all said yesterday in the meeting, in the call, right, of the election for the millage. The money's dedicated in its totality to the school system.
That's 100% right. The money is 100% in its totality supposed to go to the school system. And then, Newell, I think even further to your point, let's just make a practical one. The city's already doing this on behalf of NOPD, NOFD, as part of its general alimony, et cetera. So is it really that hard to collect this money and not charge a fee? I mean, we're now in 2025. No. You have AI running things. I mean, to me, this seems like keystrokes, not as though the city is putting $8 to $10 million worth of work on collecting this fund.
No, it's a money grab for sure. So let's pivot real quick. There was a screen that was put up about revenue losses, and they broke them out into two categories, one being confirmed that definitely going to happen, and another additional potential losses. Some of these seem to me to be costs, but in some revenue items. So they have traffic cameras down to $13.9 million. Why are they losing these funds?
So the traffic cameras, remember, are subject to a bill passed in the legislature, and the money is actually going to go to two separate purposes. One is the sewage and water board drainage, and then the other money is split between the school system and the city itself. But as Councilmember Morrell pointed out yesterday, you're counting this as a loss, even though money is going to sewage and water board at the same time. It doesn't matter if sewage and water board is technically a state agency. It's still part of the city's umbrella. And so, yes, it's not a clean line to the general fund, but at the same time, there's still money that's going to be going to the city and to one of its partners. So it's one of those things. I've coined the term FAMO, factually accurate material omission. That's what this is. Yes, yeah. It's true the city will directly be collecting less money, but it's also with nuance that is lost in a slide such as that one.
The next item they had listed, Emperor's Partial Dissolution, $2.9
million. Mm-hmm.
What
that is... So NOPD participates under its pension obligations in a system called EMPERS, as opposed to most of the rest of the city in NOMERS. There's state legislation that I believe was filed that essentially says we want to discourage departments from defunding, and if they fall below a certain threshold, then you are going to be charged extra in your pension obligations if the employment ranks fall too low. Well, I think, again, that was done to prevent people from defunding police departments and not having enough cops. But this happened to us not because of that, just because we haven't been able to keep up with our attrition issues. And P.S., Newell, this is an issue that the city had been pointed out for a long time, and right. They blithely ignored. And now the number is just going to go up every single year. So, yeah, it's a revenue loss, but it's a revenue loss of the city's making.
Well, it's actually an expense because they're having to make up due to the actuarial tables, right? In fact, they even threatened to file a lawsuit against the fund. If I'm not mistaken, they did. Did they not?
They have filed. I think there's maybe even two lawsuits. But, yes, there are lawsuits filed against the fund. And, look, based on the plain language of the statute, I don't think the city has the better argument on this. But the point has been, but go to the legislature then and work on something and get this resolved. I don't think the point is to punish the fund or the city. I think the city just needs to show in good faith the things that it's trying to do to make better efforts. But the bottom line is, again, this is not something that is caused by Trump or some outside force.
No, it's not new.
Doing something.
This has
exactly.
existed for a while. Fire pension at $8 million. What's that about?
I think that's still about the ongoing pension obligations that are owed to the fire fund. My understanding is that's supposed to be at some point dropping in the near future, but it still goes to the outstanding pension obligations. And again, I think this is the point that you just raised and was raised yesterday. Both of these are known quantities. So this isn't
But these are cost items. These aren't revenue. This isn't revenue loss as they this is expenses that they've had year after year. NOMRs cost $800,000.
Still part of the pension obligation. Same thing. Housing, a cost that's been known.
Housing trust fund is just a reallocation of monies that come in at $15 million to the trust fund, right? The revenue's there.
That's right. Well, and the other thing, too, Noel, is the way that it is written, people lose sight of this. It's 2% up to the amount of the general fund. It doesn't mean every dollar has to come from the general fund. So you can use bond money, for example, to replace a large part of that. So, again, that's not revenue. That's an expense that's soon. Another point that was raised yesterday, by the way, is that that doesn't start till 2026. If the city wants to fund it early, we can have that conversation. But this is also not an immediate, urgent crisis situation that nobody could have foreseen.
ABO processing fee removal, $1.5 million from 2023.
This is another issue that was litigated. It was involved a tax that the city put on alcohol beverage outlets. That's what ABO stands for. Mm-hmm. And I think what ultimately happened here was the council removed the collection of the fee because we knew ultimately we were going to lose. And it was better to kind of have a prospective place where everybody could swallow things moving forward as opposed to continuing to have to fight and be at risk for ongoing litigation. So, again, this was something that happened mid-third quarter 2024 and, again, should not have been a surprise. And if we're not supposed to be collecting it, then we really shouldn't be counting dollars that should not be part of the budget.
And is that the same for the alcohol beverage outlet manager's fee, the $26,000 loss?
Yeah, so that one is proposed legislation right now that Councilmember King has filed. It's separate. There's an open question about whether or not that provision will go through. But I would also argue it's $26,000. We have a $1.8 billion operating budget. I don't think $26,000 is going to break the bank.
Well, it may cost you more to collect it than what you're actually getting in return. I don't know if they've ever contemplated quantifying that number. Interesting, though, they made an observation that these are all things that happened. These outcomes were quantified after the budget hearings in October. I find that kind of odd. I mean, these are things that are fairly well known. I mean, I just don't see, you know, I mean, if you're not on top of your budget items, your line items, and you don't understand what's happening to them as a result of legislation at the state level, before budget hearings in October, you got to go quantify it. It's a must. You can't go into budget hearings with unknowns.
Right. Well, I'd say 2 points to that. One is the next slide over is also about expenses. And by the way, we had budget hearings beginning in October. We had all the conversations publicly and privately in November. We passed the budget in November. You had a month of quiescence in December. And the first time we learned that NOPD had a $40 million overtime overage was at the end of January. Same principle. There's no way that nobody knew about this until the end of January. It had to be known earlier than that, number one. And then number two, take, for example, Newell, the cameras. I started having conversations with the administration in June or July about the cameras and what we needed to do and pathways to make money. So I know at least on that one that is an inaccurate representation that this was a blindsiding. Is it a change in circumstance? Yes. Was it known certainly before we passed the budget in November? Also, yes.
I could tell you, I looked at overtime reports. So today's February 12th. I would have seen already the overtime report for January.
Yeah. Well, and again,
I knew what was budgeted, and I knew whether or not we blew that budget. And typically what I would do is call the commanders in and say, hey, your job is to manage to the budget. Now, unless there's an extraordinary happenstance like New Year's Day, right?
Sure.
Explain this to me. Where's the disconnect? You know the number. You participated in the budget preparation in quantifying the number that you needed. We adopted it, and now you've blown through the number. I want an explanation.
Well, so did we, and we didn't get one yesterday. And I think the irony, if not the hypocrisy of yesterday, was the administration trying to tisk the council for being poor financial planners and then failing to disclose that it was over its budget on personnel for NOPD, NOFD, and EMS by $50 million. And then here's the PS. They expect it to happen again this year, too. So, hey, guys, let's not lay behind the log and wait till we've passed the budget and then say, here's a parade of horribles while we can't meet our obligations. And at the same time, Newell, we have to be pragmatic. We know that we need public safety. We have to have first responders available. But we also have to look at, to your point, meeting our budget, what things are happening, what's not happening. And again, if you have exigent circumstances like what happened on January 1, we have beefed up security for the Super Bowl. You're going to have beefed up security for Mardi Gras. We get it. But we have to plan and hold hands together, not in silos.
Joe, is there an opportunity? You know, in all of this, I see opportunities. And one of the opportunities, and you and I have talked about this before, is to right-size this organization. And I don't know that we've been through that exercise in a long time. But if we have these budgetary stressors that are out there, revenue loss stressors, expense stressors, this is the golden opportunity right now to right-size city government. You guys have a lot of employees, more so per capita than a lot of similarly sized cities. There should be a question asked, do we have too many people? What are we doing?
And I think those are the questions that have been asked. Look, I'll take a step back. Take safety and permits, Noel, where there's a report that's been released about how to streamline the services there. The council has been asking for 6 to 9 months. How is that happening? We're going to have to be in front of technology curves, too. It's going to be important that we make sure that we have the right software and hardware to make things work. And as that happens, like everything in life, there are just natural functions that have to change as a result. And I've said this many times, too. I'd rather pay one person a higher salary and get very high competencies and core competencies than pay three people diddly and not be able to get the work out of them. So I think it's both a question of how do you use technology that you know is here and is available at a higher function? How do you pay people the right thing that happens? And then the last one, too, is not only the right sizing, but creating good morale and wanting people to be able to work with the city, too.
So when we look at the list of the additional potential losses, it seems to me that these were items that, for the most part, maybe not all of them, but most of them were items that were legislatively influenced as a result of the last session. Would that be a fair characterization?
That's correct, and that's why I also said to the administration, look, you have seven political actors on this dais, two of whom used to be in the legislature, all of whom have relationships with the New Orleans delegation and beyond, go use us to help you with some of these things. I mean, we've told you this a million times. We're willing to go do that and go have these conversations. And some of it may be beyond our ken to get done, but I feel like we have to have as many people as possible having the right conversations doing it. And that, again, this is not an unknown or unforeseeable thing. you know what the future has. So, A, how do you deal with that, particularly on the Emperor's front, potentially some of the other losses? And then, B, how do you deploy your resources to help you as best as possible?
So let's put this in context. They've quantified around $96 million in what they defined as revenue loss. And let's assume that these numbers are, in fact, valid. What does that do to your budget from an operational standpoint? I mean, $96 million of a $1.8 billion budget?
That's what I said.
You know, that it's a blip. You know, that it should be able to be managed inside of the budget if someone actually knows the budget and what they're doing. Your thoughts about that?
I agree with that. And I also think, to the point I raised earlier, was a point of contention if you really listen to what the CAO and the CFO was saying. The CFO had more of a sky is falling attitude and worried about the revenue loss. And the CAO, in my view, both said, as long as we're protecting fund balance and we're in an eyes wide open situation, we can manage through all these things. And look, I told the press yesterday, Newell, I'm cynical now when the administration says we don't have any money. I've been through this through a number of different cycles where that's been the case and feel like it's been a Chicken Little situation. And at the same time, let's look at what's happening at the federal level. Let's look at what's happening at the state level and not be alarmist, but be pragmatist.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, I know that, you know, there is probably a solution, and that would be attendance at another climate conference somewhere overseas. And I'm sure that there will be information brought back that'll remedy all of this, right?
Because, well,
most of these items are influenced by climate change, from what I can tell.
Councilmember Morrell filed an ordinance prohibiting any unnecessary travel yesterday at the close of the meeting. That has to lie over, which means stay put for 6 days, and then we'll take it up at the next council meeting. And I'm not in a threat-making business. I don't think that works to anybody's benefit or advantage. But to the point you're making, if we are on an austerity push, and we can't do things because we don't have money, then it seems like those things which are luxury items, which is traveling, professional development, conferences, meals, et cetera, then those have to be put by the boards until we solve the alleged financial crisis we're in.
That's one place to start for certain. Thank you so much for joining us, Joe. We really appreciate your time. We know you're busy. Have a great week.
Same to you, Neil. Take care.
Thank you, sir. That's Joe Geruso, Councilman, New Orleans City Council. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Folks, welcome back, folks. This is a very interesting conversation that we had with Councilman Joe Geruso, who worked really hard on the budget presentation and trying to get through that process with the city. And it is challenging. You know, and these numbers sometimes are very fluid in the way that they come in, and I'm not so sure that they're doing monthly monitoring of an expense set or otherwise. I kind of listen and look at it, and we were not the most advanced organization out there by any stretch of the imagination, but we knew what were critical elements of the budget that we had to monitor on a monthly basis. in order to ensure that we had a healthy fund balance, which is basically at the end of your budget year, that's working capital, so that you can make it through the year on a cash basis. You're not borrowing money to make payroll. You're not doing other things, and that you are able to function, pay your bills on time, do all of those things that people expect of you in running a business. And we knew what those foundational issues were that we needed to monitor. And that's why, you know, both with the school system, with the $30 million hiccup of not accounting for their dollars appropriately and not recognizing the difficulties that they were in, that's unacceptable. Then we had to do this remedial action that the council stood up. If you recall, I was not in favor of it. I didn't like the idea that we were going to reward bad behavior, but it was a good deal for the city, something that they were going to have to ultimately end up dealing with the school system. And I guess, you know, with the balance of interest, kids being educated and everything else, and all of the challenges that we have within the school system, I readily admit I may be wrong. Maybe my thinking was too punitive. I don't know. But here we are, and again, this is almost like a world country. It's like we're talking past one another. We went through all the machinations of working out the construct of this settlement agreement with them, and then we find out that the mayor didn't approve of it. All of her representatives were in the room. This was talked about publicly. And at the last moment, all of a sudden, we're in a cash crunch. We don't have enough money. We're $96 million down as some identified revenue losses. These are not revenue losses, not all of them. So they're mischaracterized in the presentation, which is mind-boggling to me as well. Because if you're going to put this kind of information out there in an attempt to educate your council and others as to the state of the state, get it right. Characterize these things appropriately. This is crazy. We don't know who's on first, what's on second. We don't. It's just simply amazing to me that more and more this administration, and look, I've been singing their praises as to the execution with Super Bowl, but this is not execution. This is craziness. We have a lame duck mayor who's in the within the last year of her administration under federal investigation. We got all kinds of issues. She wants to travel to climate conferences all over the world and bring back what, I don't know, little or nothing that I've seen thus far. I don't see a return on that investment. We still fail to prioritize what we need to accomplish here. This is nuts. What are we doing? This is the perfect opportunity to right-size this organization. We're too big. We got too many employees. We need to right-size it. We need to utilize technology. We need to replace human capital with technology. We've got to get lean and mean. Because guess what happens if that does not happen? You pay more taxes. And it's not going to be in the form of sales taxes. We have our finger on the ceiling there. We have one of the highest sales tax rates in the country. It has to be ad valorem taxes, increased millages, otherwise known as property taxes. We already have a flight problem of out-migration being greater than in-migration. Our in-migration of folks that bring some semblance of wealth, those numbers are down. And they're down for a lot of good reasons, right? As great as this place is, culturally and otherwise, and so much to do here. We punch above our weight in so many different categories. But when it comes to this administration's governance about the priorities being in place and making sure that we're doing it, we're missing it on a number of fronts. We get a lot right. And I'm not shy about saying that. But in many cases, we are successful in spite of ourselves. Who knows where we could ultimately be if we actually took the time, paid attention to the details, and got this stuff right. This 2% tax collecting fee on the district goes back, I think I read, to 1993. And they still haven't resolved this. What's up with that? Who was leading the fight for the school system in 1993? And if that couldn't get worked out in 1993, I would have walked right into court. And now, all these years later, it's as much as $11 million a year that they're charging to collect a millage that appears on the same bills for all the other city millages that are going out, right? It's a math calculation that should be embedded in the software, and it shouldn't be that difficult. And it certainly doesn't justify an $11 million charge. And if you wanted to have a proportionate share of the printing cost and the handling and everything else, you work that out by a cooperative endeavor agreement amongst the parties in order to accomplish that. Now, you might have to consume some political capital in order to do so, right? But that's how you go about resolving this. 1993 to 2025, and it's still not resolved? And everyone agrees that more likely than not, they do not have the legal authority to impose the fee? Can we honestly look ourselves in the mirror and say that we are not a third world country? We are in this respect. This is craziness. We're robbing Peter to pay Paul over and over and over again. And through all those years since 1993, how many times did you hear an elected official go to the podium and talk about the importance of education and the importance of our school system and the importance of being able to provide for our kids? Meanwhile, collecting a fee that we suspect is illegal and we know for a fact makes it more difficult to deliver the services necessary to our kids. How much hypocrisy has to exist out there amongst the political landscape before everyone recognizes what is actually going on? This is craziness. We've seen some of the same attitude to the funding of pensions. Right? And there's guilty parties on both sides. Underfunding the pension, not living up to the fiduciary obligation of dealing with the unfunded accrued liability that's out there. And at the same time, the pension systems are out there spending dollars, wanting increases and everything else, and there's no money. And there's never a contemplation of where this money is going to come from. And we've done that probably for 3, maybe 4 decades now. And it came up again last year, and it's likely to come up again this year with pension systems going to the state legislature trying to get increases in the benefits for them, and there's no money. There's no funding source for any of this. Who is going to stand up and be the steward of these dollars, speak up, consume political capital, and call it out for what it is. We'll wait and see. We'll be right back. Welcome back, folks. Everyone, I think, is aware of the Department of Governmental Efficiency, otherwise known as DOGE, and what they're doing at the federal level and looking at the inefficiencies that exist out there. It's amazing to me that there are folks that are fighting back, that are actually standing up and supporting inefficient operations, ineffective operations, no accountability. It's almost as if this is an entitlement, another entitlement program. Once you step into the world and the realm and the landscape of federal, state, or local government, that's it. You're done. You've won the lottery. You don't have to do much. In fact, now you don't even have to show up. And I mean, it's absolutely amazing to me that there's this lack of desire to right-size organizations, to gain a better understanding of what the mission is, how you go about executing on that mission, and who's needed and who's not, which is absolutely craziness to me. In fact, it is completely unclear right now in the federal government whether or not the executive branch, the head of the executive branch, the president of the United States, has the authority to do any of this. We hear a lot of chatter over the last three, four decades about crazy spending and this and that and everything else. And the moment that you want to do something about it, you end up in court. Really? I mean, we are in a mess in this country. And we wonder why we have a $36 trillion deficit. It's growing by leaps and bounds daily. And it's like there's no exigency in D.C. ever. We'll just keep spending money. The Trump administration has suggested that agencies will be permitted to hire no more than one employee for every four workers leaving government. It's an interesting approach. Then you go and conduct operational audits, and if you need more people, you have to make that case and you get more people. But otherwise, it's placing the burden on the managers, the bureaucracy, to actually manage itself. It's easy to manage when you're overstaffed, can spend whatever you want, do what you want, when you want, how you want, no big deal. You're just there making people happy. You're unhappy? How can I make you happy? You only want to work 6 hours a day? Okay, not a problem. Oh, four? Just don't tell anybody about it. I mean, we're seeing more and more and more of this, throwing money around for all kinds of different things. What we're trying to influence, I have no idea. And yet, we're not sure in this country whether or not anyone has the authority to cut the size of these federal departments. So it's not just the city. It's not just the state. It's the federal government as well. And guess who's paying for this? All of it. You and I. We'll be right back. Stay with us. When we return after the top of the hour news break, we'll visit with Michael Heck. Stay with us.